Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
And please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you. We magnify you. And Lord, I'm just thankful, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I got to share just one parting of the Red Sea. I was on my way to Tennessee. And Brother Geronimo and Sister Vicky were so kind to drop me off, right? And I was sitting there ready to board. And I go, I forgot my meds. And I was looking at the time and I said, oh, man, who can I call? I didn't want to call them back, but they had just dropped me off, so I called them back. And man, they came in a heartbeat. They came, picked me up, took me all the way back to Chula Vista. Oh, thank you, Lord. Came back, and he said, oh man, as we were leaving, there was like a 2-mile line of people getting into the airport. We saw that, we said, oh God, I'm going to miss this flight. Because I only had like about another 35 minutes to get on this flight. So we got everything, we went back, and we were praying, right, brother? Oh God, part the Red Sea, just part the Red Sea, God. And as soon as we approached the airport, God parted the Red Sea. There was no cars. So I said, okay, God. But then when I went in, I saw Pharaoh there still. Because there was a line that just whipped around to go through security. And I was thinking, how do I get past this? And then Catherine's thought came into my mind. She goes, get wheelchair service. Amen. So I went to the counter and they got me a wheelchair and put me to the front of the line.
That's right.
And I had 10 minutes left to get on that plane to go. God is good. He parted the Red Sea. I had to share that, brother, because I won't forget that evening. You two, you know what? About maybe 2 months, 3 months ago, we had a visitation from angels at 10:30 at night. And they're sitting right there. You guys have been such a blessing to Yolanda and I and to the Amazing Grace family. So we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, amen. All the glory goes to God. Amen. So we're going to get our attention right here on the screen. And if you have your cell phones, laptops, scanners, if you could put them on the silent or off position. I've entitled this afternoon's message, It's All About Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And we're going to see in this study that from the very beginning, from the book of Genesis, how it started out in the garden. And there was tranquility, there was peace, there was joy, there was love, there was eternal life. And then the fall happened. Adam and Eve, they missed the mark, they fell. And then mankind has been plagued with sin until this day. But I'm here to let you know that at the very end of the story, it's going to revert back to paradise. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. How many can't wait for that day to come? Well, I can't wait. So let's go to the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah 46. We got a lot to cover, so I'm going to go quick but yet thorough. Amen? And when the Holy Spirit says speak, I've got to speak. Amen? Here we go. Isaiah 46, 9 through 10. And it reads, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring, I need you to catch this now, declaring the end from the beginning. Did you catch that? So we're going to see through the Word of God that what God declared in the very beginning will revert back to the way its natural state was. And look at this. It says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Praise God. Did you know that God is doing a lot of pleasure through you? He takes pleasure in your life. Why? Because he sees us when we bless him. Right now, we were worshiping him. Amen? And so, saints, in this message, we're going to go back and look in God's Word on how the Lord declares the end from the beginning. We will look in the Scriptures through the Torah, which is the books of Moses, especially in the book of Genesis, foreshadowing the book of Revelation and other Testament books that we're going to read right now. And in order to look into the parallels of all these books, we must understand how God tells time. Okay? And so here on earth, time is counted in three different ways. Let's look at this for a moment. There's linear time and horizontal time. Okay? Mankind started in the book of Genesis, and time as we know it, saints of God, here on earth, will end in the book of Revelation. How many of you have read Revelation? Many of us have, huh? Well, it ends well for us, but it does not end well for the unbeliever. God created man to live with God for what? Eternity. Eternity. So let's look in the Scriptures right here. Let's go to Genesis 1:26. Look at what the Word of God says. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. Let me just say this. Because we were created in the image of God, this is why God took very special interest in us. This is why he did not dispose of us. This is why when Adam and Eve fell, God still had a plan for us. Why? Because we're created in his image. If we're created in his image, that means we are special. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are special to God. And don't forget the other one on the other side. We're special to God. Special. Look at this. And then right here in verse 28, then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Okay, so as you can see, it started out so beautiful what God created. Amen? But we look at Genesis, and then we're going to look right now in Revelation. Look at this in Revelation 24 through 6. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of all those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the Word of God, who had not worshipped the beast and his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads, on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. This is the millennial reign. How many want to live with Christ for 1,000 years? And guess what? We're going to have that brand new body. He's going to allow us to reign and rule with him. We're not going to be floating on clouds eating bonbons or playing the harp. Whoa, God's going to do something mighty in the 1,000 years we're going to be with him. And look at this in verse 5. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. So those were the unbelievers that were still not resurrected. Wow. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. That's when God's going to take home the church. Amen? The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. We that are alive and remain shall what? Be caught up to be with the Lord. So saints, after 1,000 years of millennial reign with Christ, we then slip into eternity. Yeah, eternity is not here on this earth. Eternity is going to be with him forever when the new Jerusalem comes. Jesus. And we don't have time to get into that. But let's now look at number two. Let's look at vertical time. How many recall Jacob's ladder? Remember when Jacob He sat down, and then the heavens opened up, and he saw like a ladder coming down from heaven. And there were angels going up and coming down. Angels going up and coming down. And so we see this in the book of Genesis. Look at this right up here in Genesis 28:10. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head and laid down in that place to sleep. I don't know about you, but I couldn't put my head on a stone. Amen. I need a pillow. Look at verse 12 here. And then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you will lie, and I will give to you and your descendants. Wow. So he got a glimpse of angels descending and ascending. That's why the Bible says sometimes we may be entertaining angels because they appear like men. So be careful when you entreat a stranger. Be careful when there's a homeless person and you just walk by and not at least pray for them or give them a dollar or something. You never know if that's an angel that you're walking right by. My goodness. My goodness. Look at this. And then in verse 14. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad the west and the east to the north and to the south. And in you your seed and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This is God making a proclamation to Abraham, which passed on to Isaac and then Jacob. And behold, look at verse 15 right up here. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to the land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. And so this is a time that there really is no time like a clock that's on the wall. It's totally different. Heaven doesn't have clocks. So if you can't worship here, I don't know what you're going to do up there. But we're going to be worshiping the King. And so saints, this can be perceived as spiritual time, what he saw. And saints, when we worship God, we go from this earthly place to the heavenly realm. How many love to be in the heavenly realm with God? You ever been caught up in worship that God took you to another place? Have you ever been in the anointing of God, in the power of God, in the presence of God? And you're going, man, there's no other place like that. Praise God. Look what Paul wrote to the Ephesian church right up here. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were what? Dead in trespasses, he made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved. Aren't you so blessed that the day you gave your heart to Christ, he made you come alive? You remember, we were dead. Some of us were drunks, addicts. Some of us were all other things I don't want to mention up here. Can I get an amen? We were all part of that, weren't we? But then God made us alive. He came into our time realm. He busted into our time and made us come alive. Can I get amen? We was walking around like doop-de-doos. Oh, come on, getting in trouble. Oh, that's right. Man, almost all my family's in law enforcement. And they used to always come warn me. To be saved, he gave us a heart to repent. And as soon as we repented and cried out for forgiveness, then he washed us in the blood. And once he washed us in the blood, he filled us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Some of you haven't experienced that today. Maybe those who are watching, maybe those who are here, need a dose of the Holy Ghost. Can I get an amen? Well, it's endless. There's an endless well of God here. Amen. And look what else he wrote here in 2 Corinthians. Look at this. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to the glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord. How many can honestly say you weren't the same like you are today a year ago or 2 years ago? For me, it's been 35 years ago, and I'm no longer the same. Praise God. Is there more for me to learn? Yes. Is there more that I desire? Yes. Is there more things that I want to see God do? Yes. Yes and yes. Because God is endless, and He will give you everything that you need. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so, saints, how many times have you been in the presence of God and lost track of all time? Okay, so now we're going to look at cyclical time. What is cyclical time? Something that I'm trying to elaborate up here. Cyclical time is something that repeats. It starts out and comes back again, all over again. Praise God. And so this realm of time has a beginning and is repeated in the future. Cyclical time. Write that down. Cyclical time. This is why the book of Genesis is considered a mini apocalypse. And so, saints, we're going to look back at the events in Genesis and go backwards to see the parallels in the near future in Revelation. So we need to declare the end from the beginning. That's how we're going to find out how this is going to end up. We have to look at the beginning. And then we're going to sort it out that that's how God wants to restore it from the very beginning. And so we're going to look at parallel cycle, a parallel cycle. One of them was this. Let's look at this. Jesus ascended from the Mount of Olives. Okay, remember when he was crucified on Passover? He died, was buried, and then he rose again. And then he was with the apostles and all the disciples for at least 40 days. And many people, over 500 people, saw him after his resurrection. And so, but Jesus, he ascended from the Mount of Olives. How many remember the Mount of Olives? I feel bad for these two back here. They were about a week away from their trip. And then the war broke out over there? But Mount of Olives is so serene. It's where the Garden of Gethsemane is. This is where Jesus poured out his heart. The Bible says he prayed like blood was coming out of him. But let's look at Acts. I need you to see this parallel now, where he ascended from out the Mount of Olives. And then we're going to see where he's going to return again. Remember, wherever it starts, it'll end up where it began. Okay? This is what this message is all about this morning. Look at this. In Acts chapter 1, 9 through 10, look at this. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. These were two angels around the disciples as Jesus was ascending right up. No, he was not on an air balloon. No. He wasn't catapulted up. No, he wasn't helicoptered up. He ascended up right before them. They saw this. Let me ask you this question. And this just came to me right now. How many of you, since maybe your childhood, maybe to your present day, you ever had dreams that you were flying? Any of you had dreams that you're just flying and you could just walk? And then just take off and fly. I believe it's prophetic. I believe what God was showing us in these dreams is that's how it's going to be with the new body. Can I get amen? Because Jesus just ascended up. He goes, I'm out of here. Here I go. And the Bible says when we are changed, we're going to be just like him. So if we're going to be just like him, we're going to have that same body that's just going to ascend whenever we want to ascend. Man, I'm telling you, I can't wait for that new body. Hallelujah. If you want to keep your old one, go ahead and keep it. I want that new one. Praise God. You know why? Because the young one that we have will grow old. And then it'll get what? It'll get diseased and then sickened and then back to the dust. Here we go. So, look at this. In verse 11, look at this. Now, he also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven, so will come in same like manner as you saw him go up into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olive, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. Okay, so he ascended there, right? So we're going to look at this parallel cycle number two. Look at this. Jesus will return on the Mount of Olives. Oh, that's right. Look at this in Zechariah. Zechariah 14:1. "Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem." And right now, they are gathering. I hope you know that. All the nations around the world are hating Israel. Look at all the protests. Look at the colleges in the United States. They're all coming against Israel. Just like the Bible said, they're all going to come against her. And God is going to come and save her bacon. Can I get an amen? It's happened right before us. Wake up, smell the coffee. It's happening right now as we speak. So look at this. He goes, "For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut away from the city." Now look at verse 3 up here. "Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in the last day," look at this, "on the last day his feet will stand" where? "On the Mount of Olives," the same place he ascended to go with, to be with his Father, where he's at right now. He's coming back again the same way. Jesus. Thank you, God. This message is all about Jesus this morning. Can I get an amen? It's all about him. Look at this. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall be moved toward the north and half of it toward the south. So that's just one parallel. Look at this. Here's another one. Number three. Jesus began his ministry 40 days in where? The wilderness. Look at this in Luke. It says right here in Luke 4:1 through 2. "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for what? 40 days. By who? Oh, slew foot. There's the devil. Let me just say this. The devil's relentless. He will always come to your door. He will come to your dreams. He'll come knocking. He comes in many forms and fashions. Can I get amen? What's the purpose of old slew foot? To keep you away from Jesus. To trip you up. To bring doubt and unbelief. And so look at this. "And those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they ate, they had ended, he was hungry." Amen. So now look at this. Let's look at the parallel to that. And number four. Jesus ended his ministry the last 40 days before being taken up. So he started 40 days where? In the wilderness. And then before he was taken up, he stayed another 40 days, and then out he went. Oh, that's right. We just read this. We'll read it again. Look at this. "Until the day in which he was taken up, after through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by what? By many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days. So the 40 days of, look at that, of being in the wilderness, he was with them 40 days and then he was out of here. And so unless you study the Word of God, you won't find these parallels. You won't find the beginning to the end. Because I want to give us hope today that it's not going to be like this always. Can I get amen? We see the debauchery. We see the sin of the world. We see the transgenderism, the homosexuality. We see all these things that they're trying to shove down your kids' throats. We know it's an abomination. But God said, I'm going to take care of that soon and very soon. He's going to eradicate that. Hallelujah. How many can't wait to see a life without all that mess? I said it last night. I performed a wedding here yesterday. And I went back to the scripture. And what did I say? A man and a woman shall leave their mother and father. A man and a woman. Period. Put a period on that. I know there was some unhappy faces when I was looking around. Truth is truth. If you can't stand for the truth, why are we here? Can I get amen? Truth is truth. We're not here to compromise with the devil. He's a liar, the father of them. And he'll take you down to hell with him. That's what he wants. He wants to lie to you, say everything's okay. And sometimes things are not okay. You either get right or get left. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Thank you, God. And so 40 days, speaking of these things, pertaining to the kingdom of God. And so Jesus said, if we want to really know his soon return, we need to go back and see a prior event because it will repeat itself. Everything will repeat itself. And so we will see now the foreshadow of the tribulation. You know, we're about ready to hit that tribulation. Things are mounting up. Did you know that we're having a proxy war with Russia right now? We keep giving billions of dollars to Ukraine to fight this war against them, and they're about ready to unleash on us. Are you guys ready for that? I don't think none of us are ready for that. Did you know that a year ago, all of Russia, for 6 months, they had drills going into bunkers in case they got hit with a nuclear bomb? Where's our drills? Where do we run to? What, under a desk? No. This is why we need Jesus. Can I get an amen? This is why we need Jesus. He's our bunker. He's the only one that can protect us. Because this government won't. Help us, God. So we're going to look at this parallel right up here. Number 5. The dove, symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's right. Look, we got to go back to Genesis. Look at this. And he waited yet another 7 days. This is Noah on the ark. By the way, Sister Yolanda and Sister Catherine were so blessed. I had to stay back a day because I had to speak for my dear friend that I went to high school with at his celebration of life. And so I stayed a day back. But that day that I stayed back, they went to see the Noah encounter, the ark encounter. And that thing they said was so huge. That ship was so huge. It had 3 levels. And they were so blessed. And I go, oh man, I missed it. But that's okay. They were on these little electric carts and they were gone. They were zoom, zoom, zoom. And they brought back a wonderful report. If you ever want to go see Noah's Ark, it's in Kentucky. It's the life-size scale to the T of Genesis. Man, what an encounter. That's why they call it the Ark Encounter, because it is an encounter. But what we're reading right now in Genesis, this is Noah. Look at this. And he waited yet another 7 days, and again, he sent the dove out from the ark. Then the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. And Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth. So he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, which not return again to him anymore. Now, he could have used any other fowl. Well, he couldn't use a chicken because they can't really fly far. He could have used a crow. He could have used an eagle, or a hawk, or a pigeon. But he used the dove. Why? Because it's the symbol to God of the Holy Spirit. Because it's a gentle bird. It's a loving bird. That bird is not a predator. You ever seen a dove? A dove is one of God's most beautiful birds. And it's harmless. It's so gentle. And so we see the parallel in Matthew right up here. Look at this. In Matthew 3:16, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like what? A dove, and sliding upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So the dove was the symbol of God's grace, God's mercy, God's Spirit. So just like in Noah, God used the dove. And just like in the New Testament, the dove descended upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we got to look at this other parallel, parallel number 6. How many want to know a little bit more? And we're going to see this in Genesis. Look at this right up here in Genesis 7:11. That's right. It's not Slurpee time. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, and on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. So there was an upheaval. There was torrential rain. There was tsunamis. There was a flood. And then eventually there was what? Death. Death came to all, except 8 that were saved by water. And who were the 8? Noah and his family. Praise God, praise God. But how do we see this parallel? Where do we see this now? It's found in the book of Luke. Look at this in Luke 21. And there will be, look, Jesus said this in the last days. And the days that are here, the days that are just about to come upon us. And there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars on the earth. Distress of nations, perplexity, and the sea and the waves, what? Roaring. Men's heart failing them from fear and the expectation of those which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven will be what? Shaken. I want you to just focus on this. 26. Men's heart failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. Guess what's coming in October of 2029? Apophis. Apophis is coming. Now, if you don't want to take my word, go to NASA. Go to NASA and type in Apophis. A-P-H-O. Apophis. Just A-P-H-O. Oh, and it'll show up, okay?
April 13th.
Okay. So Tom Horn, who went on to be with the Lord, wrote a book called Wormwood. And God gave him a dream. And that thing, he saw that thing as big as 3 football fields. Huge. It was going to hit the West Coast. And he said half of the United States from the west on will be underwater. Perplexity. Men's heart fell in for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming. He said the year before it hits, you'll see it like you see the sun coming to the earth. So in 2028, which is what? 4 years from now? You'll be able to see that thing coming to the earth. It's on NASA's radar. They see it coming, but they're not saying nothing. They don't want to bring fear. Well, I'm letting us know, because we should have no fear either, because we have Jesus. How many believe we have Jesus? Hallelujah. He'll watch over us. Thank you, God. Oh, yes, He will. Yes, He will. Now, here's where it gets egregious. Here's where it gets very, very, sometimes even the church calls it political. We don't talk about that here in the church. But we do. So we're going to look at this next parallel, number 7. The signs of the days of Noah.
Man, that's what we're in.
The sign, how was Noah's day? Well, let's look in Genesis. Look at that. The earth was also corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. Every movie now you see is violent. Shooting someone in the head. And no one's even squirming no more. We look at it like, oh, that's just normal now. Look at this. The earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with what? With the earth. During this time, it was the time of the Nephilim. You know what the Nephilim were? Because we don't have time to really dig into that. But the Nephilim were they were fallen angels that came onto the earth, and they were going and laying in bed with the women on the earth. And out came these humongous, wicked things. Evil. Evil. And God said, I got to destroy the earth now because of these fallen beings. I'm here to let you know, if God said that it would be like the days of Noah before he returns, did you know the Nephilim are back?
Yeah, they are.
But they came in a different way. They came in a different way. Because around the world, millions of these transgenders and homosexuals are filled with the devil. Just like, come on, God didn't make them born that way. Can I get an amen? They're everywhere. And I know it's not a popular message, but it's like the days of Noah now. Yeah, you go, well, you know what? Oh, that's your opinion, Pastor. No, that's God's opinion. And what God calls an abomination, it's an abomination. He didn't tell us to play footsie with it. He didn't tell us to compromise with it. You got to call that out. Because if you don't call it out, it'll overtake you. And you'll compromise. Well, you know, I'm praying. No, you know, you pray that that wicked thing will leave them, or they're going to perish and slip into hell. Oh, that's right. Look how does that parallel to us? Jesus said it right here in Matthew 24. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. So Jesus said right before he returns, it'll be like the days of Noah. There'd be wickedness on this earth. Wickedness. For as in the days of the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until that day Noah entered the ark. Listen, Noah preached for 130 years. Repent, repent, get into the boat. And none of them, they all laughed. They mocked Noah. And then the rains came. And then they were all clawing on the boat to get in. God closed the door. God closed the door. There was no lever on the inside. God closed the door from the outside. And they all perished. And when Jesus comes to judge again, it's not going to be done by water. It's going to be done by fire. So look at this. They were given in marriage and until that day, until Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Don't take it up to the preacher. I'm just a mailman delivering the mail this morning. You got a beef? You got a beef with Jesus. Not with me. I'm just bringing you what the Word of God says. Does it hurt? Do we have family members in that lifestyle? Yes. Do we have friends in that family? Yes, we do. But it's our job to tell them to repent. If you can't tell them to repent, then you have compromised with them. You got to tell them to repent. We're called now to tell people to repent. Jesus is about to return. This is not a popular message. And a lot of churches won't preach this. Why? Because they don't want to be politically incorrect. They'll be offended. Oh, I don't want to lose no one. Who cares? Maybe they'll run out and repent and fall on their face, and God will show them that these things we're talking about are wicked. They're abominations. Jesus, help us. God wants me to pray right now. Father, we have family members and friends that are in this lifestyle. God, give them a mind to be saved. Give them a heart to repent. Oh, God, show them mercy and grace. Show them the error of their way, Lord, that they would let that go and that the evil will be driven out and the Spirit of God, which is like a dove, will come in with peace and love and joy. Let the fruit of the Spirit come in and drive out all the wickedness in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's look at the next parallel right here. Parallel number 8. Got a few more. Do you still want to hear some more? Or you want me to close it up? I'll close it up. Oh, I got some more. Amen. There's more. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Look at number 8. The translation of Enoch. He was the first one raptured out of here. Oh, that's right. Look at this. In Genesis, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. How would you like to live that long? And Enoch walked with God, and then he was not, for God took him. God took him. Boom. You're out of here. That's how I want to go. I want to go. God just takes us. Can I get amen? Yeah. Praise God. And so how do we parallel this? How do we parallel how God just took Enoch, took him out? And when I'm saying taking him out, he didn't destroy him, kill him. He took him out from the earth and took him home to be in heaven with him. Well, we see this because the apostles wrote this in 1 Thessalonians. Look at this right up here. For the Lord himself, say that with me. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord of the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, frighten one another. No, it says comfort one another. God's word should comfort us. Amen? Praise God. And so the way we saw how Enoch was taken out, the church is going to be taken out. We're going to look at number 9. Look at this. Cain and his mark for 7 years. He was marked for 7 years. This parallels the 7-year tribulation. My. Look at this. Because the tribulation is on its way. Whether you want it not to come or not, it's going to come. Yes, are we supposed to pray for peace? Yes, we're supposed to pray for our leaders. But what God has set in motion, it's going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass. Amen? So look at this. In Genesis 4:14, surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on this earth. This is Cain who killed his brother Abel. This was the first murder in the Bible. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Did you catch that? The sevenfold? Sevenfold? For 7 years, God uses 7. Did you know that 7 is a number in the Bible that God uses? And so look at this. The parallels here. The mark of the beast and the tribulation for 7 years. Did you know the AI that's taking place in our life right now? AI, computer chips. They already put chips in dogs and animals. They're about ready to put one in us. Why? Because they want to know everything about you. They want you to walk up to a 7-Eleven and take anything off the shelf and just walk by and get scanned. No money exchange no more. And they're going to want to put one in your forehead or in your hand. Don't take it. Because in that chip is also going to cause havoc in your brain. It's going to transform you into their image. That's why God said, all those who take a mark will go straight to hell. Now you've taken the mark of the devil. Wow. Some of you probably haven't heard about this. Maybe you've never read about it. I'm glad you came today. I'm glad you came. And for those who will be watching a little later, I'm glad you tuned in. Amen? Because it's going to happen. Because we see this right here in Revelation. Look at this. In Revelation 13, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand, on their forehead. You know, I never got a hold of this until I found out this is technology. This is AI stuff. Because there's no nation, there's not one person that could dominate the world like this. It's going to be through computer. It's going to be through AI. Mama, see, God's revealing these things because we couldn't see it then as we see it now. 50 years ago, you couldn't explain this. 100 years, definitely. But now we can. Now we see this. And that no one would buy or sell one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his on his hand, on his name. Look at that. So it's going to be implanted. Wow. Jesus, help us. Help us, God. I'm praying that we're out of here before that. Can I get amen? And so we're going to look at parallel number 10. We've got a couple more and then we're going to close. Look at this. And parallel number 10. The defeat of Satan. Come on. Come on. Someone got to give the defeat of Satan. Oh, that's right. Listen, old Slewfoot is going to get it. You ever tell your children, wait till I get home, you're going to get it. Oh, that's right. Come on. Look at this in Genesis. See, God already saw it in the beginning, how he was going to take care of Slewfoot. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, he caused Adam and Eve to slip and fall. You are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. And so look at this. Where does this parallel with? Satan is bound for 1,000 years. You know, I asked God, why didn't you just throw him to the bottom of the pit then? Or in the lake of fire. You know why? Because after 1,000 years, mankind is going to be tested one more time. One more time. But we won't, because we'll have the new body. We'll be like him. But just so that I'm just going to touch on this and not go into great detail. We don't have time for that. But there's going to be humans on this earth like we are right now. And we're going to rule and reign over them. We're going to be like Christ, and Christ is going to position us around the world, ruling over humans. But there's not going to be sin in the world. Jesus is going to rule from Jerusalem. Why do you think that's such a hotbed right now in Jerusalem? Why do you think all the nations want to destroy the Jews? Because they want to prove that the Bible is not true. They want to prove to the world that Jesus is not coming back. So the devil has just a few couple of years left here, if not months. But it's all coming. It's all coming. It's all colliding right now. And so Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. Look at the Revelation. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Just imagine having a world without Satan. All the wickedness gone. All the perversion gone. All the lawbreakers gone. No violence. No evil. Can you imagine that? It's hard to fathom that. How many remember Leave It to Beaver? It'll be Leave It to Beaver days. Without an Eddie Haskell. Well, for some of you, that just went right. Bam. Who's Eddie Haskell? Oh, you know him very well, bro. Were you an Eddie Haskell brother? No, okay. And so we're going to come down to this. Yes. This last parallel. Number 11. God made a perfect paradise. He made a perfect paradise. Yes, He did. Now, we don't have time to go into these two chapters, but in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, God made the earth, the plants, the water, the animals. Then He made His prized creation, man, with a tree in the middle of the garden. He made us to be perfect. And guess what? It's going back to perfection. Can I get an amen? Because we see this right here in Revelation. Look at this. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Look at this in verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and all the Lamb, and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. That's us. We're going to be serving the King of Kings. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. Look at that. There will be no more night. There will be no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever and ever. Come on, say that with me. Forever. How many can't wait? And so, as a recap, it's right up here. Look at this. Beginning was perfect paradise. In the end, it'll be perfect paradise. Look at this. In the beginning, God walked with man. In the end, God will dwell with man. Woo! How many can't wait to dwell with Him? Look at this. In the beginning was a tree of life. In the end will be the tree of life. Just like how it started out, it's going back to it. In the beginning, look at this. There was no sin. In the end, there will be no sin. Just imagine having a mind with no evil thoughts, no lust in your heart. You know us men, we gotta watch what we look at. And your ladies are not off the hook. No, but Jesus said, if you look on a woman with a lustful heart, you already committed the act. Just imagine not having those thoughts no more like that. Gone. Eradicated. Pure thoughts. Holy thoughts. There's not going to be no more sin. Look at this. In the beginning, there was no sickness or death. In the end, there will be no sickness or death. Wow, we're going to live forever. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this. In the beginning, right here, the first Adam was, look at this. In the beginning, first Adam's bride was Eve. And the second Adam's bride is the church. Because Jesus is the second Adam. He came to give us life. And look at this. The first two chapters of Genesis, everything is perfect. The last two chapters of Revelation, everything is perfect again. How many can't wait for that? And I close with this scripture in Ecclesiastes. That which was, look at that. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You. And we thank You also for the interruption, God. And I thank You, Lord, that even when the AC went out, it's still okay. But Lord, I'm praying, Lord, that for those who are here or maybe who are watching, Lord, that You would speak to their heart. Lord, let them know, God, that you have it already sorted out. You said that footsteps of a righteous person is ordered by the Lord. And many of us who are righteous because of Christ, you have ordered our footsteps. But I'm praying for those who maybe don't know you right now, and that this would be a great opportunity to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. That you would turn to Him. For we know Him as the author and the finisher of our faith. We know that He will save us from the guttermost to the uttermost. And He has done a wonderful thing in our lives. For those, most of us that are here, and maybe some of you that are watching. But for those who are on the fence, I pray that you would cross over now and surrender your life to Jesus. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, and watch God do the miraculous, miraculous in your life. And so, pray this prayer by faith and watch God do what He's going to do. Pray with me right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You, God, for my life. I do believe on Your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that You died for me, and the blood that You shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask You now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor You and to follow You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Is He worthy? Well, listen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.